There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
We're talking healthcare now. Delighted to be joined in the Dubai Eye studio by the Chairman and Managing Director of VPS Healthcare, Dr. Shamshir Vialal. Dr. Shamshir, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you. Good morning.
We're going to talk mainly about your role as a businessman, as an owner of hotels, because VPS Healthcare is planning an IPO, a stock market listing, we think in London, and we think later on this year. What's the latest?
It's a work in progress, and we are really excited about the exciting times that we are going through. So we hope things will be in order very soon. It's a long, lengthy process. So it's giving us a lot of jitters at this stage.
What's this obsession with healthcare companies based in the UAE in particular listing in London? When we have most companies here in the UAE list on Dubai or Abu Dhabi, we have two, if not three, stock exchanges if you include Nasdaq Dubai. But the healthcare industry, Noor, Mediclinic, NMC, others have all gone to London. Why is that?
See, I think, you know, when companies like us decide on listing, we look at the comparison markets and how the comps are doing in respective stock markets. And for us, looking at the comps, it has been great in London. So that's what it is at this point of time, to extract maximum value. And, you know, there's a good appetite for healthcare assets in London, especially on these kind of markets. So
comms?
The comparisons, so so that's what we are looking at. So at this point, we think that we will end up in London.
So VPS Healthcare will be one of the latest UAE-based hospital operators to list in London. It's becoming an increasingly competitive market here, isn't it? We know we've seen Mediclinic's results. They've been facing pressure in Abu Dhabi, in particular on fees. How are you standing out?
See, I think it's the new normal. We have to work under tight pressures and tight margins. So it's all about your scale that is going to make you different from the rest. And I think efficiencies has to improve. Cost cutting is the new mantra. You go anywhere, you have a real target on the price. So I think it's going to be a challenging environment, but that's the fun.
Is it threatened in any way, in the same way that other retail is, by online sales of medicines? I know people who are sort of reading more and more about their own health conditions and ordering stuff online rather than going to hospitals or doctors. Do you see that as a threat?
I think these are days of Dr. Google or Dr. iPhones. So I think smartphones. So I think
everybody becomes a cyber copy.
That's right. And you're loaded with information. So it's all about innovations. And I think we've been talking about it of late very often. I think we need to innovate. We need to disrupt. And I think the ones which will disrupt will be the market leader. And I think healthcare is very risk averse. So they don't take risks. And because you're dealing with life. So that's one critical aspect of healthcare. So we are at a tipping point. We need to disrupt. We need to innovate. And that's what the future is.
Well, talk to me about that innovation. Where is that going to come from? What's it going to look like? Will it be things like online consultations with doctors where I have a Skype-type conversation with a doctor rather than coming to one of your physical properties? That's one of the innovations we've talked about here on the Business Breakfast. What are the others?
I think it will be around artificial intelligence, where your reports will be read by AI algorithm, which could enable the doctors to take much more faster and appropriate decisions. So the chances of error will also reduce. So it's more about precision medicine or personalized medicine. So I think we'll see a lot of disruptions, especially with the news of Amazon getting into healthcare. So I think we are awaiting a major disruption in healthcare.
Here in the UAE, we go drive around town, you see more to let signs on villas. We hear stories about people losing their jobs. But Saudi Arabia is a huge hope, given the massive medical potential in Saudi Arabia, and with the focus on the Aramco IPO, and the focus that's given to the Tadawul exchange in Riyadh. Is a Saudi listing a potential option for you?
We haven't thought about it. We don't want to risk out too much. We don't know how those markets can and especially IPO like Aramco can be too big at this point of time. So we haven't thought about it, but entering Saudi is a big thing for us, because you know the governments are talking about privatization. Even in Dubai, you have seen a lot of to-let signs, but that's a right opportunity for us. I think the rents are stabilizing, and for us, we're not just catering to the domestic market. We want to bring in more medical tourists coming into this region, because we have the talent. We have now little more advanced medical systems than what it used to be.
That's been a long-stated aim of things like Healthcare City, to bring medical tourism in, but it really hasn't happened yet to date. We've been talking about it for nearly 20 years. Why has that happened? Is it cost? What is it?
I think it's a combination of cost with talent, and the most important aspect is the trust. You know, it takes a while in healthcare to build trust, because you are so used to your own healthcare facilities back home, and I think people were traveling. But now, I think those days are changing, because we have a hospital in Dubai which does more of medical tourism than domestic patients. So I think it's all possible with the beautiful infrastructure, safe environment, and even the cost getting stabilized. I think medical tourism can play a big role in this market.
So Dr. Shamsher, what can you do to make healthcare more affordable for people here in Dubai? It can be very, very expensive. We've had insurance brokers in here saying they estimate medical inflation in the UAE at around about 10 or 11% a year. You've clearly done very well out of the healthcare industry. I'm looking at your Forbes profile, an estimated net worth of $1.51 billion as of yesterday, which makes you the 94th richest man in India, and person in India, and the 1,567th richest person in the world. So you don't need to make any more money out of this for yourself. What can you do to make it more affordable for people for example, from Kerala, many of whom are living here in Dubai in the UAE, living on relatively modest incomes?
See, we have done a different strategy in healthcare by segmenting healthcare. So for us, we have multiple brands. So people ask me, why do you need so many brands? So for us, it was always about the focus and the affordability and accessibility. So we have done brands which are purely working in the industrial labor camps. We have side clinics, which are mostly on the industrial sites. So, you know, these are like no-frills, the low-cost carriers, where you have the same doctors which rotates in the system, but they don't have a lot of luxury associated with the premium brands. So I think, in a way, we were able to get the scale of operations. We got the volumes. So with volumes comes efficiency. So I think this is the combination that we are trying to focus. We want to attract the bottom of the pyramid coming into our centers.
This is a little bit off-piste with this question. But I mean, all the work in the labor camps, do you see a totally different set of issues facing patients in labor camps?
So I think the psychology of patients coming into the labor camps are totally different. And you have a problem when you have an infections in one of them, the chances of them spreading is also very
living
important.
So close together. Yeah.
So we do a lot of services around occupational health, infection controls, and you know, some of these labor camps are very advanced, and their work-related injuries are different from a common hospital that we have in a residential site, because there are more industrial accidents happening in those camps. So it's a different service line, but again, it's more complex cases. Injuries are more severe, more intense. Mm-hmm. But I think you know, when you deal with those segments, you get more satisfaction as well.
So as well as being the chairman of VPS Healthcare, which is the company you're looking to list on the London Stock Exchange, you've also recently been made managing director of Amanat, which is a UAE-based company. That is a healthcare and education provider. It's listed on the Dubai Stock Exchange. It was a greenfield IPO about 3 years ago. How are you going to juggle and balance those roles?
No, see, for me, VPS has attained a size, significant size, and recently we have made some very senior appointments, including some of the people who have worked in the industry, and that's on an autopilot mode. So today my day job is Amanat. I stay in Dubai right now. I spend a lot of my time in Amanat. So that's a new challenge. So even I'm looking out for challenge. So it's an exciting time to be in Amanat.
I know you've been looking at the role of PPP, public-private partnerships with government bodies, to try and deliver better healthcare. And I wonder what you make of the recent events in Riyadh. They've left the business breakfast really scratching their heads a little bit as to whether the locking up of wealthy businessmen in Riyadh would make raising private sector funds for government projects easier or harder. What are your views on the future of PPP, particularly in Saudi?
Now, I think these are all opportunities for somebody like me who is new into this business field and trying to make a mark. So I look this challenge as an opportunity rather than as a threat, because we have done a recent PPP, semi-PPP with ADNOC, and it's out in news where we provide them with medical care on their offshore and onshore sites, because we were looked upon as a quality and more cost-conscious provider. So I think the same thing can happen even with Aramco. So our model is more around cost-based quality healthcare.
But just explain to me that relationship then, because in what way are you not simply a customer of the government? They want people to look after their staff. They've employed you to do that. What are you giving to them to make it a partnership?
No, so for me, when we did with ADNOC, it's more of in-country value propositions that they're trying to develop with the local private counterparts. So it's like giving us an opportunity. Before, they were doing it themselves, so they now decided to focus on their core strategy and to outsource the rest of the things which are not their core. So we got an opportunity there, and for us it's employing more locals into those systems. We are providing them with more quality and more efficient care.
But you have to make the upfront investment in building the facilities.
And I think these are all running facilities. We need to provide them with manpower, we need to provide them with expertise, we need to provide them with the doctors. So it's again providing an integrated platform for their staff to minimize their time spent outside of their work hours in hospitals or other healthcare facilities. It's providing them with quick, efficient care.
You clearly have a lot on your plate, so we're going to let you go.
Dr.
Shamshir, it's been a pleasure talking to you. Shamshir Vialil is the Chairman and Managing Director of VPS Healthcare. Best of luck with your IPO.
Thank you.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.